we need the anointing of God. The anointing is that divine enablement of the Holy Ghost or the power of God to operate and function in our life. And some of us men need the anointing of God on our life to really be a father. We need the anointing of God in our life. Some of us business people, we need an anointing. You can go through the motion, and I don't want to go through the motion. You should want to be anointed.
You're listening to the Anointed Leadership Podcast with Terry Lynn Scott. Subscribe today to start cultivating more leadership anointing in your life. Now here's your host, Terry Lynn Scott.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anointed Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Lynn Scott. Once again, I am so grateful today that you're joining me, that you are a part of this family of the Leadership Podcast here out of the Anointed Leadership with myself. And today, I've got a great level of content for you in your leadership, to develop your leadership, to help your company, your church, your organization, you, the leader, and your team grow. And that's our heart's desire at the Anointed Leadership, is to help you grow individually and the capacity of your team to grow, to reach and accomplish everything God has called you to accomplish. Amen. Before we jump into this, I would love to ask you to do a couple of things for me. First of all, if you have never subscribed to the channel, whatever platform you're listening to it on, whatever podcast platform, if it's on Facebook, if it's on, if you found us through Instagram, if it's on our YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe on that. Also hit the bell that notifies you every time we drop a new one of these episodes. Our goal is every other Thursday to drop one of these and be consistent with you as you are consistent in your development and leadership. Second of all, if you could do me a great favor, number one, in this situation is send me a comment. Leave one on the platform you're listening to this. Give us a review. Go to my website, terrylinscott.com, and shoot me an email and let me know this content has helped you, has impacted your life, and has helped you grow as a leader. Would love to hear from you in that regard. Also, if you have any questions that you would like for us to answer, we've been answering some privately as far as some of these questions are private that by email that I've been receiving, but I would love to help you grow. We could ask some of these publicly, not giving you information of who it is, but be able to ask a question and then be able to answer that from our perspective. Also, if you would like to invite us to your workplace, your business, the team, and let us help you grow your team by doing some in-person trainings, we would love to do that as well and be a blessing to you. And the final thing that I'd ask that you do is share this content with whomever you believe this content would add value to their life. If you are a pastor or if you're in a church, you're a church leader, and you feel like this would help your pastor, as many of you know that you listen to me, I have a heart for leadership and pastoral for the local church, and we would love to help churches grow in their leadership. Share it with your family, share it with your friends, a coworker, an entrepreneur, somebody that you believe is developing and desiring to develop in their leadership, and this content would help them. Or simply do me one favor, just share it on your social media. Just hit the share button and say, man, this was fire, and I would be grateful and happy about that. Right before we jump in today to our content, I do want to tell you some exciting news that has happened with me and for me at my church, Abundant Life Church in Radcliffe, Kentucky. As the senior pastor here, we have been believing God for a Bible college for 37 years now, that when I took over in 2020, I've just picked up with the heavenly vision. And we are excited to announce, I'm super excited to announce that this year, August of 2024, on August the 12th, is our inaugural year and our first day of classes for Abundant Living Bible College. That's correct. We are an accredited Bible college, not secondary accreditation. This is a primary accreditation equivalent to your state universities, associates, bachelor's, and a master's degree, as well as a doctorate. Right now, we're starting out in the associates realm, but we have a complete accreditation, a two-year Bible college. We're doing a pathway of either a missionary, a pastor, or an evangelist on a third-year program that right now is what we're planning. happening. Eventually, within the next 2 years, we will have a bachelor's program, and then we will eventually increase it all the way to the master's and a doctorate. If you have ever thought about doing Bible college, you want some training in the study of theology, you want to go into ministry, you are a minister, and you want to grow with your education and understanding and dive deep into the understanding and knowledge of the Word of God, Abundant Living Bible College is for you. If you're young out there and or old alike, and you feel the call of God on your life, Abundant Living Bible College is for you. It's a very inexpensive college for the impartation and the revelation that you'll receive from God. And our heart is to develop and train you in the things of God to accomplish everything God has asked you to do. Amen. And so I would love to invite you to be a part of the Bible College in various ways, but especially to be a student. And you can find more information out about that at ALBC.school. Again, ALBC.school, and find information, find applications there, and ask questions and discover Abundant Living Bible College. The difference in us and most is the impartation of the anointing of God to get upon you to do what God's called you to do. Amen. Again, if you have any questions about that, reach out to us so we can help you find that information. Hey, today, as we jump into the content, I've got one for you that I believe it'll take a couple of episodes to get this out. And so I'm going to jump into it today. I've got a few verses here that I want to read you. But have you ever went through a hiring process? Have you ever went through a recruiting process to find people to fill slots, to manage daily tasks, to help develop and grow and go deeper in the ministry, in the call, in the business realm that you're in, and you know it's getting too heavy, it's getting too fast, and you need more people? You ever been in that process? I've got to hire somebody, and who do I hire? Are they qualified? Are they good enough? What if I make the wrong mistake on hiring? And as leaders, what we have to realize is there is biblical principles about everything we do in life, and especially in the process of adding people to our team. And so today I want to title this one. It's my 68th episode in the podcast, and I'm titling this Commit to Faithful Men. Commit it to faithful men. And this is what I want to challenge you with today. So let me read a few verses, and then we're going to dive deep into these, unpack the content here, and help you grow in your leadership. First of all, I want to read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Commit these to faithful men." In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and I read these Bible verses because this is called the anointed, getting the power of God upon us. In chapter 3, verse 1 through 7 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." And by the way, I did a whole podcast on are leaders born or developed, and it comes from that verse. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach," and goes on. And then verse 7 says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall to reproach in the snare of the devil." Acts chapter 6, verse 2 through 4, the Bible says, "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continue to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" Three great verses about who do we hire? How do we recruit? How do we discover good people? How do we discover the right people? How do we get people on our team that we can trust, that we count as faithful, that we can empower, that we can turn the vision over to, that we can let them run with it? This is what these verses talk about. And so many times, what we do is we hire, instead of being proactive, we are reactive to it. When we hire people, we typically react to problems rather than becoming proactive in the hiring process or the recruiting process. And what I mean by that is sometimes we take people because they've gone to college, Now, I have a Bible college now, as you heard on the opening, and I'm not opposed to college. I'm not opposed to getting degrees. I'm all for it. I think it helps define the fact that you put in the time, the effort, the energy to go and fulfill the commitment and get the degree. It helps with that. But what we do is we find somebody with a degree, or we find people that have years of experience, or we'll get recommendations from trustworthy people. We'll give a reference of recommendation why we feel like they should be a part of that job and why they'd be a good fit. The reality is not one of those things was what was in the explanation that Paul told Timothy or the apostles told the disciples. Not one of those things. That is what we do in the natural realm, but with the anointing of God upon us in our business and in our churches and everywhere, what we do is if we get the things from the principles of God, we will always find success. So what we do is we become reactive to a hire rather than proactive in selecting the individuals. And I want to challenge you, how do you become proactive rather than reacting to incompetence, reacting into lack of morals and lack of principles? How do you get proactive? And we find that in these things right here. Because I really believe this, that most of our hires, most of our problems, if it's not incompetence, and if we ruled incompetence out, by the way, there's a lot of people today that are incompetent to do their job. They might have a degree and nothing against you. Please don't be taking offense to that. Because if you do have a degree and you are competent, then it makes sense to have the degree. Come on. But what happens is some people have a degree, but they've never been trained properly. And so they look and become incompetent. Let me give you an example. My son, Micah, my third son, went to Bellarmine University. He took 4.5 years. He got 2 degrees. He got a bachelor's in accounting and then an economics degree to be able to go into his CPA. What happened? He come out of college. Actually, the end of his senior year, his fourth year, he had to go to that fifth year, which he got to go through COVID, and he went ahead and took the economics to give him the credits to take a CPA if he ever wanted to. But because of COVID, he was a fifth-year senior, not through a red shirt process of like not playing, but a red shirt because they redshirted everybody through COVID, and he got to play that fifth year of his college. Well, he went in for an intern program. He went in and he went to a finance department in a car lot. And remember, he's in an accounting degree. He's going through education. He's being trained about the accounting and finance. And he goes there and for 4 weeks, he struggles. And he said that everything they did, now listen to me, everything they did in the school system and they trained him was nothing of what they were doing in the real world. He basically said, I went to school to get information, but would never use it in the field. This is the problem why if it's just the degree. Why we have a lot of incompetent people is they have a lot of degrees, but they've never been trained. So if we eliminate the incompetence, let's just take that out of the picture, right? And we say, why do we have major issues in our businesses? Why do we have major issues on our teams? Why do we have major issues with people around us? And as leaders and in the hiring process and in the entrepreneurs, the business owners, the pastors around us, is we find a lot of incompetence because we don't have a training. Though we have book smarts and knowledge, we have zero common sense. But if we take incompetence out, these are some of the things that I believe are our major issues. One is behavior. We have misbehavior inside the team. We have abnormal behavior. We have things that of people that are just all over the place in the way they live their life. We have inside of our teams, we have conflict of morals. We look at things differently. Remind you, I'm an anointed leadership podcast. I'm not against and opposed to hiring people that don't know Jesus, but the reality is if their morals don't at least line up, right? They may not believe in Jesus, but if their morals don't line up to the morals that I keep, I don't want them on my team. And that's a lot of our issues. Not only morals, it's just simply principles. The way we do things, honesty and integrity and, we're not liars. You see what I'm saying? Just simple principles. And then the other thing would be is simply just not willing to fulfill the vision. In other words, they're coming to work to get a paycheck. They're not interested in developing the organization and grow it. They're just looking for a money to deposit in their account every Friday or every Monday or every other week, whatever that is. And what you find is these are issues all across the board. And my opinion is that you could be very reactive in your personnel, in your team, because now you hired somebody because they look good, they looked the part, they talked right, they said all of the right things in interview processes and things like that. But then when you bring them on staff, and even in the probationary period, everybody's going to be on their best behavior. Probation is over. Now we are back to where the rubber meets the road, and now we really get to see who they are. And if we don't put some things in place, we don't put some parameters in place to become proactive in the team's selection, we're going to have problems, and now we're scrambling trying to figure out. We've invested in this person. We've given time into this person. We've done training into this person, but it's just not working. And now we have a fear that if we let them go, now we're going to start the process all over again. And so now we're in a catch-22 situation. Do I let them go, or do I just put up with the situation and we endure and tolerate the situation, which is cancerous, right? So now that's what I'm trying to get to the point. I'm trying to get to the things in the recruiting or the hiring process that we look at, and how do we bring the right people on in the team. Now, in the church world, and that's what the world I'm in, and as a pastor, the Bible teaches us, and we preach this, come as you are. Jesus loves you just the way you are, and I believe that. It's the type of church I am. I'm a grace of the Lord Jesus Christ type of church. Come in. Come as you are. Don't clean up. I'm a prodigal story pastor that before you even got dressed, he put the robe on you, the ring on your finger, the shoes on the sandal, and threw a party before you even showered. So that's the type of pastor and church I have. However, when we're talking about leadership now, when we talk about team members, it's not just as you are. There has to be proven facts. In the Bible, the simplest and the lowest level of leadership, if you will, in the Bible are deacons, people that wait on tables. And we find three things that they were supposed to be, right? They were supposed to be good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. So if I took two of those, let's just take without full of the Holy Ghost. Let's just talk about a reputation and wisdom. Those two things are vital just for the basic levels of leadership. Right. And so now if I'm looking at that, not everybody qualifies for a deacon, which is, again, the lowest level of leadership the Bible teaches. So we want to look at these things and not just accept anybody, not just accept a degree, and figure out what's the process and how do we discover inviting and hiring the right people. Amen. So all of that intro to tell you this is what we're talking about. I want to help you. I want to be able to help you grow. I believe 2024, as you're listening to this in January or February of 2024, you've come through the first month, and we are going to see God move greatly in our lives and in our businesses. I believe that Christian owners and businesses and churches that are preaching the gospel, they should be flourishing the way the Bible teaches in the book of Acts. We should be one thing on the heels of another, according to Amos chapter 9. And so I believe that as you do that and as you grow, you're going to have to manage and steward the people around you as well as the business itself. And so today I want to jump in. We're going to do a two-part in this. And I'm going to jump into the first two today that I want to show you that what the Bible says out of those three verses are principles, if you will, of a hiring process, maybe. So the first thing we find that we read it in a couple places, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, commit these to faithful men. And that's the title of this. So I might as well jump right into that. How do you prove faithful? How does it to be committed to faithful men? How do you determine a man is faithful? How does that look? What are some things that we can do to figure out if they're faithful? Just because somebody says they can do something doesn't make them faithful. Just because they say they're going to do something doesn't make them faithful. So look, if this is what we're looking for as faithful men, how can I hire them if I haven't tested their faithfulness? How can I bring them on my team if I haven't tested their faithfulness? And that's a great question, because the reality is faithfulness must be proven. It cannot be just accepted. It's not just, you know, it's not honor. It's trust. Faithfulness is proven just like trust is earned. Honor's given and trust is earned. So to be proven faithful, it means I have to go through a process, right, to determine whether I'm faithful or not. And this is the thing. And faithfulness is more than just showing up. Just let's be really, really clear. Faithfulness looks like this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think what you have to do is do some discovery. You've got to do some research. I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. My son, Micah, again, when he was headed to Bellarmine University in his junior and senior year of high school, in the recruiting process, many college coaches contacted him. He met with a lot of college coaches from all different levels, Division I, Division II, III, and NAIA. He talked to a lot of them. One of the key components across the board is most of these college coaches, they did not just ask the son or my son or the potential team player, but they went to their administration. They went to their high school coaches. They went to their club coaches and asked questions. One of the key components they did is they searched social media accounts. And this is where you can find that. I just want you to understand. You can determine a person's faithfulness and commitment to things based on what they're doing on social media. You can tell if they're bashing, if they're gossiping, if they're slandering. You can tell where their life looks like. Are they committed to an individual? Are they staying long times in relationships? All of this is determining faithfulness, right? You can see comments of what people may say about them. You can see what they're commenting on other people. This is how one way you can research faithful. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, right? Inside of that, if you want to search that, they did that to Micah. And Micah, and we went into a training about the recruiting, and they basically told you that you've got to clean up that social media and that you got to clean up your voicemail. Two big components that we would never have thought about. But the reality is if they look at things on your social media accounts, and actually it tells the whole story of your life, when they looked at that, they could determine, is this guy a good fit? Is he faithful? Is he going to create problems? Is he going to stir up a mess? Are we going to have cancer on the team? And all of that is determined by just simply looking at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all of these things. What are you doing? And so for Micah, he made sure he cleaned up his Instagram and all his social media accounts. Why? Because we knew that he's a great young man, but they weren't asking the parents their opinion. They were looking at what the young person was doing. You can do the same thing, determine if somebody's faithful. You can see what they're plastering all over social media and determine faithfulness. Another way you can do this is probation periods. I mentioned that. You're going through a probation period. And so here's what I would challenge. I'm in the ministry, so let me just tell you how, and your business may not work this way, and it's okay, but just take the concept. Is in the church, there is a quote unquote, and I don't like this word, but let me use it for explanation purposes, ministry of helps or volunteer status. And you can have a volunteer in the church. If you're a pastor, this is a great way to determine somebody's faithfulness is because I'm a nonprofit company. I mean, we live off of giving, right? We live off of donations, if you will. And so we can do this in the church is determine somebody's faithfulness through serving, through giving of their time, volunteering their time. And I've hired quite a few people on my staff in the last few years because they were committed to serving when they weren't getting paid. Talk about faithful. I've got a couple of people that actually quit their jobs prior to me, and this was not me asking them to do it. This was actually me telling them, you don't need to quit your job. You need to keep going making money because I can't guarantee you income today, and so on. They had to make their decision, but it spoke volumes to me that they're willing to let go of what is out there to go after their heart to prove faithfulness. Come on. You've got to be able to do that. Another way you can do that, now that's church. Now let's talk about you're a for-profit. Let's say you're a business and you're going to hire somebody, right? You want to put them on a probation period of 90 days, okay? You give them a job description, and this happens all the time. And government people are a little bit more difficult in this situation because they stick to their job descriptions. But in the kingdom of God, we've got to prove faithfulness to by just saying, I know this is your job description, but I need you to do this over here. And see where the heart is. You can prove if they're going to be faithful to you. Why? Because they're either there for the paycheck or they're there to advance the vision of that entity. And you can determine faithfulness inside that 90 days. I would write in my policy, if I were you and I was a for-profit business, I would write in my hiring process that the 90 days probation is at the end of 90 days, as long as you check these types of boxes, you are willing to go the extra mile. You're willing to do things that are not in your job description. And if you don't find people that are willing to go that extra mile and help you, you're going to have a lot of problems later on down the road. They're going to fight you. They're going to buck you. And I would explain that in my hiring process, that this is a component to determine if you stay here after 90 days. That keeps you from hiring people, right, that are unfaithful, keeps you from being stuck. And or you could cut it to 60 days. I'm just throwing out 90. But my opinion is you've got to determine somebody's faithfulness, because if they're not going to be faithful to the vision, if they're only faithful to themselves, if they're only faithful to a paycheck, they're only going to do enough work to get the paycheck. They're going to get the job. They're going to secure their job to secure an income. And they're going to cause you problems. They're going to cause disruptions inside the team. Because when you create a cohesive team is a team that's faithful to pick up the slack when needed. Now, not all the time, but when needed, to make sure we don't drop the ball, we don't turn it over, we don't lose points, we don't lose the battle, correct? And so you got to find that. You've got to find faithful. And that's easier said than done. I get it. But just trust me, if you will put a probation period and put them through things that you know they don't need to do it, but are they willing to do it? There's faithfulness right there. Faithfulness, remember, has got to be earned. It's got to be proven. It's not given. Just because somebody says, yes, I'm faithful, and not even on somebody else's recommendation. However, another person's recommendation will definitely help sway, but until you determine their faithfulness by putting them through a process to see if they really are they willing to go the extra mile? Are they willing to come an hour early? Are they willing to stay an hour late? Are they willing to do things that they're not, that's not a job description or underneath the degree or whatever that is? You have to determine this. If not, you're going to be reactive in this hiring issue. You're going to be reactive in 6 months or a year from now. You're going to regret the fact that you even hired somebody. And then it's going to, now I got to fire them. And then I got to deal with the cancer in the team because they've been there long enough. And now, and on and on and on and on. Listen, you have to find faithful people in this process. And that's one of the ways. Second thing today, I'm going to jump into the rest on next episode, but let's get through number two today. At least say I did something today, right? First is faithful men. This is the process of hiring. If you want to make sure you've got a good team around you and you're not becoming reactive, but you're proactive in your process of bringing team members on, is you have to also find people of a good reputation. What are people saying about them? What do other people think about them? Now, listen, I'm not one that puts much effort into what other people think about me or anybody else. However, there are those that you can go search out. You can find what's their reputation. Have they, it's pretty simple in the hiring. Have they quit a lot of jobs over the last year, right? Have they jumped from job to job to job to job? That's their reputation. They're just going to be, for lack of a better word, they're just prostituting their life to different companies, to whichever one seems better, right? Right? And we don't want that. That's not going to build our teams. That's not going to manage or steward our companies and what God has asked us to do properly. We've got to find people of a good reputation that when their name is spoken, people actually perk up, not kind of give us that grimace like, ugh, that's not a good reputation. I don't want that type of person. That maybe it's one person, we throw that away. But if there's multiple people with that, ugh, we want to be really cautious. Why are they that way? What happened? Let's investigate that. That good reputation is people like that person. People can be around that person. There's a reason I can trust this person. Or a not a good reputation is I can't trust them. I'm not going to be able to trust them. And you've got to determine that. You've got to figure that out. You've got to go through. Again, here's a great component. components, social media, previous jobs, you know that, previous ministries that they've worked and volunteered in. And there's a lot of other areas that you can find this in, but I'm looking for people of a good reputation. You know, in the church world, I need everybody on my team likable. Right? This is what we have to be. We got to be lovable and likable. And that's a good reputation. We've got to become persons. We've got to be, this is creating good reputation, right? Good reputation comes through faithfulness, just so you know, is somebody I can count on. That's a good reputation. A good reputation has great integrity, great attributes about them. Their character is good. That they carry themselves well. They treat people well. Just good reputation. And why do I want that on my team? Because I need a team that has cohesive enjoyment. We love being together and we love working together. I don't need a team of people that can't stand each other, which comes from people that don't have a good reputation. I don't need a reputation of gossip. I don't want a reputation of slander in my team. I don't want a reputation of pointing fingers. I want a reputation of I'm going to take responsibility for my part and the part of my team because we're doing this together. Notice the level of reputation. How do you discover that? Probationary period. Also, social media. Also, go find some people for references, right? So how do I grow? How do I, as God blesses my business and God blesses my church and we grow, what do I need to do to grow the team? Not just hire people, but become proactive in finding faithful people, finding people of good reputation. Hey, I'm going to end it right there today. In a couple of weeks, we're going to jump back in, finish these out from these scriptures to help you discover and hire the right people so that your team is going to flourish and grow and accomplish everything God's called you to do. Listen, till next time, I call you blessed today. We're speaking life over you and health over you and healing over you and anointing over you as you do everything God's called you to do.
Connect with Terry on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts to help this message reach more people so together we can create anointed leaders all over the world. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we're believing God with you and for you that whatever you put your hand to will prosper in Jesus' name.